Take your Bible.
Psalm 139. I've got several psalms that just really have been a blessing to me throughout my life, and Psalm 139 is definitely one of them. This morning I mentioned that it would be a two-part message, not necessarily based on the passage, but based upon the topic. This morning we talked about standing in awe of God, but more or less standing in awe of God's power and standing in awe of His works. Tonight we're going to be talking about standing in awe of God's person. I hope that this message is encouraging to you. Throughout the week, I was thinking about different folks, and I was thinking about different ones that are certainly going through a rough one right now. And I want to tell you, it's for you tonight that I believe the Lord put this one together. And I believe that this might be a help and encouragement to you. And I love you guys, and I love you, the Petrozella family, and others who are hurting right now and going through difficult times. And so I hope and pray that this will be encouraging to you, that it'll be uplifting. And I hope that as a Christian, maybe this will be challenging to you to every once in a while just stop, and just take a look at the character of God and allow the character of God to permeate even into the deepest parts of your soul and change your life and change your perspective on what's going on. So I pray that this would be a blessing to you. Let's read Psalm 139, verse number 1. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Dear God, I pray that you would encourage the hearts of folks here. Lord, I pray that you challenge the Christian who needs to be challenged tonight, that you convict the one who is fleeing right now, the one who is running from you. Lord, show them your amazing love, your amazing compassion, your amazing mercy, and Lord, bring them to you. God, I pray for the one, again, who is hurting to be lifted, to be encouraged, to walk away tonight knowing that you're a good God. Whatever may come, I pray, Lord, that you bless. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been very privileged in my life. I'm not going to deny that. I've had great opportunities. I've had opportunities to go and travel to see places like Mexico and see places like British Columbia, Canada, which is beautiful, by the way. If you've ever been to Vancouver, it's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. I've been privileged to go to the Philippines, halfway across the world, and I've seen many things across different places in the world that have really caught my eye and caught my attention and just brought me to a place of speechlessness. And I can tell you, those who know me, that's a pretty hard thing to do, okay? And so God has definitely done some things and created some things that are wonderful. I think of the wonders of the world. I think of things like the Pyramid of Giza. I think of even things like Niagara Falls, and I'm sure many of you have been there and just stood and watched in the enormity of these falls and just how powerful they are. I've been to maybe two or three waterfalls, but nothing that powerful before. I remember at the Wilds, there was a waterfall that we would go to every week, and I remember one week in particular after it rained for a very long time. It had rained actually all week, which made camping miserable, but at the same time, it made this one day of going to the falls pretty unique. Because as you looked at the waterfall, it was so powerful. It was so powerful that usually we'd allow the campers to go swimming in the little water hole there that the waterfall was pouring into, but the current was too strong because of the power of the waterfall. That was spectacular. That was something that took my breath away, literally speaking. I think of different things like that that have taken my word straight out of my mouth. I think of when I went to the Philippines, and I'm probably mispronouncing this by far, but the Banaway Rice Terraces. And I was in the area of Ligawe, and I remember the guy who was there, actually he was here last Sunday night, Victor Carpio, said, "Oh, we're going to send you on a hike. You're going to take a hike, and you're going to see some beautiful scenes." And, you know, I think it was one of us asked, "Well, how long is the hike?" He just said, "Oh, it's just a couple miles." And so we thought, "Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to get some exercise. We're going to go for a couple miles." Little did we know it's more than a couple miles. If you remember straight, maybe 10 or 11 years ago when we came home from this kind of was the big story because it was like a 20-mile hike. And, there, you know, 10 there, 10 back, you know. It wasn't like a circle either, you know. You walk all the way there and you walk all the way back. But I can tell you for me, I mean, I was only 14, 15 years old, so it was worth it for me. I mean, it doesn't bother me too much. I mean, I was pretty tired and my feet were sore. But I saw these rice terraces and it was beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And you might say, "Well, I don't know if I would consider that beautiful," but as you look out and you see the different valleys and just the different pieces of the terraces kind of folding into the valley, it was gorgeous. It literally just took my breath away. I think of different things like that in this world that we just stop and we say, "Wow, that's amazing." I was talking this morning, obviously, about people that do amazing things, but things that are amazing just because of their being is another story. When you think about God Almighty, the psalmist here, he had loads to say because describing God is extremely hard to do in one sentence. Have you tried to describe God in one sentence? The psalmist tries in one psalm, and I don't even think he scratches the surface on who God is. And I think sometimes in life, we don't stop to just get a glimpse of his character. We like to read about the stories, and like this morning we saw how Jesus fed 5,000, and we talked about some other things that Jesus did, but just stopping and reading about God's character, sometimes I don't think we do enough. When you look at the character of God, I think all of us can come to the conclusion, as Isaiah did, that man, he is so holy. He is so perfect. In fact, when Isaiah was there in the presence of God, he didn't even see God's face, but he saw God's surroundings. And even in that moment, he couldn't even kind of lift himself up. He knelt himself to the ground, put his face to the floor, and he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And I think about the fact that sometimes we've got to stop in our lives, stop what's going on. Stop the busyness. Stop the entertainment. Stop the sports. Stop the this and that. And I can tell you that's a struggle for me at times. But we've got to stop and just think about who God is. It's life-changing when you get a glimpse of God. It's life-changing when you get a glimpse of the Holy One. When you get a glimpse of him and you just stand there in awe as if you're looking at one of the wonders of the world and you're just overlooking, maybe it's like the Grand Canyon. I've heard that people just go there and they just stop and stare and it seems like for hours that they're standing there. Why? Because they're taken back with its majesty. What if we as Christians every single day just woke up and were taken back by the very majesty of God? What if every single day we were taken back by the awe of God, by the awesome power of God, by the awesome character of God? And I believe this is what is happening with the psalmist tonight. And today I want to give you three reasons we can stand in awe of him. I want to be very simple and short tonight. I want to be encouraging to you tonight. These words are words that we would use in theology. Most of you actually know these words. They're pretty simple. Pretty simple to get down, but hopefully this will be a help to you. It'll be something that will not just encourage you, but help you to learn some theology here. Number one, I want to say we can stand in awe of him because he is omniscient. Because he is omniscient. Take a look at verse number one. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. This next verse is amazing. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. I think about the fact that the psalmist also said in Psalm 44, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, shall not God search us out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows the hurts. God knows the fears. God knows your joys. God knows the hard moments and the easy moments. God knows every word. God knows every hard word that's been spoken against you. God knows every word that you've spoken against others. We can stand in awe of him because he knows all. He's omniscient. There we go. All right. His omniscience is why we can stand in awe. When you think about God Almighty, this is one of those things that strikes me. And here's why. Because God already knows the next step. He already knows what's going to happen next. He talked about Jesus Christ and how right before he even asked Philip, you know, hey, how are we going to feed these people? He asked him because he knew what he was actually going to do ahead of time. He knew he was going to feed the 5,000. He knew their reaction. He knew that 12 baskets were going to be full after that. You think about God, how he knows it all. We can stand in awe of him because he knows everything. Omniscience, all-knowing. God knows our heart. God knows our actions. Verse number two says, thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. But what really grips me is that God knows our path. What's really interesting is I was doing some searching and some studying of this passage. I really love it. It says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and aren't acquainted with all my ways. I was always interested in this word compassest. And what it means actually is to sift or to cast away. And I began to look into that, and I began, what is he talking about here? And here's what I came to the conclusion of. Sometimes I have plans, but they're not God's plans. And I know that's hard. Sometimes I have things I want to do that God says, I don't think so. And that's the hardest thing in life as a Christian to understand is when God says no. Christian, today, I want to encourage you, but I want to say at the same time that if God says no to one path, he's got another one waiting. And if it's not for you, and this is hard as well. Maybe it's not because of you, but because of someone else. Maybe God is stopping you from heading down one path because of someone else. He sometimes alters your path. Sometimes he has you take a detour. Detours aren't fun. I remember, I can't remember when it was. It might have been with a team. Get all my stories mixed up. I'm a terrible illustrationist, okay? So if you haven't gotten that down over the past 4 years, now you know I'm a terrible illustrationist. I don't explain things very well. Even with the teens, I kind of feel bad for them. I think they're like lost in a loop until I get to my final statements and they're like, oh, okay, I get it, you know. But I am a terrible illustrationist and because I can't remember any details. But I remember I was on this trip, and I think I was in the church van, actually. And I don't like driving anything bigger than my car. And so Anthony will remember, I actually ran into a trash can at one point. I backed into it, not ran it over, okay? All right? I backed into it. But that was like my first year. I'm used to it now, parents. Don't worry. I'm good now, right? I'm good. I drive it home every once in a while, all right? I'm good now. Don't worry. I'm not going to kill your child, all right? Well, maybe. God might alter my path, but that's really a terrible joke. All right, that doesn't leave this room. Turn off the recording. No, just kidding. No, I don't like driving big vehicles, especially when where I'm going, the path gets altered. That just really really makes me upset. I don't like detours. I mean, does anyone really like detours? I mean, is anyone like, oh, a detour today? Woo! Yeah! I mean, come on. No one likes detours. But in life, there are many detours. I remember we took this detour, and I guess I missed the sign, because you know they have a detour sign, and then they've got another sign pointing you a different direction. I guess I must have just kept going through, and I'm like driving for 15 minutes. I'm like, I haven't seen another detour sign, guys, so I hope we're okay right now, you know? And someone from the back pipes in, hey, Pastor Nick, I think we've passed one like 10 minutes ago. Well, thanks, man, you know? So I actually, that did happen. So I am, man, it's funny what happens. But we don't like detours in life. But God's got reasons for altering our path. He's got reasons for sending us a different way. Why? Because he's omniscient. He knows why he's doing it. He knows why he's doing it. Sometimes we question God. God, why? I don't understand. But he alters our path so that he can determine in our heart his way. So that we know we're going his way and not our own. Tonight, be encouraged. I know that's hard to be encouraged when stuff like that comes, but be encouraged that his way, I was telling the teens this morning, is the best way. Sometimes the hardest ways are the most blessed ways. Sometimes the most difficult paths are the best paths to be on. God alters our way, and he determines in our heart his way. I just want you to know tonight that we should stand in awe because of his omniscience, but also because of his omnipresence. And this simply means that he's in all places at all times. Take a look with me at verse number 5. It says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spear, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You know, tonight I want to tell you and encourage you that he leads us in every situation. He's present in every single situation. This verse used to confuse me when I was younger. Verse number 8, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. But what the psalmist is talking about is situations in life. When I was reading up on this passage, a lot of people are like, well, God in hell, that's interesting. But what the psalmist is speaking of is actually a time of torment, a time of torment in one's life. Rather than the place of torment that we know today as hell, he's talking about a time and a situation of torment. In other words, here's what he's saying. If I am going through those situations that are heavenly in my life, the good times, so to speak, you're there. If I am going through the horrendous times in my life, and if it just seems like that's where my life is resting in the horrendous, you are there. I can't think of anything more encouraging. I mean, I think the most wonderful thing in my life outside of Jesus Christ is my wife. Why? Because she's my other half. Where I go, she goes. What situations I'm in, she's in. Whatever I'm going through, she's going through. I love that. I love being married. It's awesome. Okay, I don't know why people don't get married. I really don't. I love being married because there's someone constantly by your side, and it's such a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of even the relationship that we have with Christ. As he said in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5, you guys know I love this verse. I love it. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do unto me, basically. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But when you think about the fact that God is always there, he's always there. Sometimes it can be convicting because God is always there. He sees all and knows all. But I'm telling you, more than anything as a Christian, it's encouraging. Why? Because he sees all and knows all. He knows every hurt, every joy, every pain because he's omniscient, but he's also omnipresent, so he sees it all. He leads us in every situation. Sometimes he leads us into the difficult situations to make us stronger, like the book of Job describes, where Job in Job 23 says, listen, I really don't see you working here. And that's the hard thing, is when we don't see God working. It's like, God, I'm looking for the answer, but I don't see you in any of this. And in Job 23, he goes, listen, God, I don't see you looking. I look to my right hand and you're not there. I look to my left hand and I can't see you. But I know that when you're finished, I might not see it, but I'll be better than gold. What a sure promise that is. What an understanding and an inspiring fact that God is always there. I want to see in the next couple of verses. Verse number 9, it says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I love the fact that God leads us. God leads us all the way. My wife and I love singing the song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. It was a song that was sang at our wedding by three of our friends and my wife's sister. And I just, every time I hear the song, I just think, man, I'm so glad that although I mess up at times, my Savior still chooses to lead me. You know, it's the beautiful psalm in the 23rd, or it's a beautiful picture in the 23rd psalm of us as sheep and him as a shepherd. You know, sheep are really dumb. Okay, if you read up on the shepherd, and I think I've done a message in here dealing with the shepherd and all the kind of the background story in the 23rd Psalm. It's awesome, by the way. If you can study that stuff out, you'll really come to an understanding of what David was saying in the 23rd Psalm. But what's really interesting is that sheep are dumb and they do wander. They do want to go their own way. And they don't see the danger that's 2 feet in front of them. They really don't. And when it comes right down to it, the shepherd sometimes, man, he has to rein him in. But then he continues to lead. It's not like he's just like, oh, see ya. You're out. He goes after the one that's lost. Oh, man, I'm so glad that my Savior is always present and always leading and always guiding. We should stand in awe of him because his omniscience. We should stand in awe of him because his omnipresence. But the third theological term tonight that I want to kind of present to you and help you out tonight with is he is omnipotent. In other words, he is all-powerful. All power is his. Take a look at verse number 14. It says, I will praise thee. David just takes a second and stops describing God and says, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you because here's why. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. And we talked about this morning that we should stand in awe of God because of what he does. But we should stand in awe of God because his ability to do so. His ability to get the job done. I love the verse in Colossians that talks about the operation of God in rising Christ from the dead. I love that word operation. In other words, what he's saying is his ability to get the job done. God is able, and we can just stop there. Able, period. Complete sentence. He's able. He's able to do all. He's able to work. He's able to help all. And I can tell you tonight, if you need a miracle, God's a miracle worker. He is a miracle worker. I think that every situation presents a different answer. But God is able. That's the hardest thing for us to grasp, I think. We really like the second one. We really like the omnipresence of God. Well, most times. We really like the fact that God is always there. But actually coming to terms with number three, it's not easy for a Christian, even though we know it. We know he's all-powerful. But coming to terms with that and trusting him because he's all-powerful, that's not always easy. God, I know what your word says. God, I know what you've done in the past. God, I know what you can do in the future. But God, I'm just so scared. I'm just so full of doubt. I think of the Israelites when they came up to that place called Kadesh Barnea. And I believe it's in, I'm just losing like the book. Not Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There we go. Wow, I couldn't remember one of the books of the Bible. That's horrible. It's horrible. I think it's in Numbers, chapter number 12 and 13. You'll find the story of the Israelites as they approach the border of the Promised Land. They're in Kadesh Barnea, and obviously you know the story. They send 12 spies in. I think some of you even know the song. You know, 12 spies went to Canaan land, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Okay. You want to see that again? All right. No. Impressive. I remember reading through that story, and there's actually an application type passage in the book of Hebrews, if you know the book of Hebrews very well. The Bible would call that the day of provocation, where the Israelites provoke God in the wilderness. And the Israelites provoke God because 10 spies went into the land, and 10 of them, or 12 spies went into the land, but 10 of them came back with the horrible news that there were giants in the land. As if God hadn't, you know, separated the Red Sea for them to part through, made the water sweet to drink, you know, I mean, all that stuff. As if God wasn't leading them by a pillar of fire in the night and a cloud by the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, as if God wasn't showing them his power already, these spies came out and say, nope! The exact words, I believe, are, look like ants in their eyes, or will look like bugs in their eyes, something of that effect. Oh, you guys are awesome. You remember the story? Worst pastor ever. I can't remember anything tonight. I can tell you my brain is like mush right now, so... But I can tell you that in this story, you'll find that in their own eyes, or the giant's eyes, the people were like grasshoppers, you know. And so, in other words, they were looking through their eyes instead of seeing God's plan. This was one of the worst days in Israel's history. One of the worst days. I mean, if you think about it, there's like a line drawn in the sand that day. God said, that's it, I'm done. This is crazy. I brought you all the way up to the Promised Land, and I brought you by my power, pulling you through the Red Sea, making sure that you are fed every single day, and this is how you're going to respond. And two of the spies are literally rending their clothes because they know what's about to come. They know the hammer's about to come down. Why? Because the Israelites were doing the worst possible thing, not believing God. Oh, Christian, my friends, the worst possible thing for you in your life is not believing God. So many things stem from the root of unbelief. So many problems stem from the fact that we just doubt God's power. My friends, tonight, please don't fall into the trap of doubt. Don't fall into Satan's snare of unbelief. Why? Because God can do all things. The psalmist says, I'm going to praise you because I know your works are marvelous. I know your power is marvelous. I've already talked about the fact that no matter where I go, you're with me. I've already talked about the fact that whatever I say, you know it. Whatever I think, you know it. God, you've laid the path out for me. God, you are almighty. So God, I will trust in you. And I believe that's why chapter, if you'll take a look at verse number 22, or I'm sorry, 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most wicked things in the heart of a Christian is unbelief. One of the things that will cause a Christian to fall every single time is unbelief. Because it falls into the trap of, I don't believe that God can give me victory. I don't believe that God can give me healing. I don't believe that God can, and you fill in the blank with your life situation. It's so dangerous. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. I mean, if you just read through it, you see almost a very interesting side of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was so grieved with the children of Israel that day, where God was so grieved with the children of Israel that day because they provoked him. They pushed one button too far. I want to encourage you today that God knows everything, that God is everywhere, but that God is all-powerful. Amen. Christian, today, those who are hurting today, I want to tell you that God knows what's going on. Don't think God doesn't know. Don't fall into and I don't want to be unreasonable here, but don't fall into the trap of Satan, almost the pity trap, where it says, God doesn't know about my problems. God knows. Amen. Oh, he knows, my friend. He knows exactly what's going on. And in fact, he's leading you in that time. He's leading you as you have made your bed in hell, so to speak. As you've made your bed in the hard times, he leads you. He guides you. I can tell you that God is also all-powerful, and he can get you out of that. But on the opposite end, Christian, as well tonight, maybe you're the one running. You're running as far and as hard as you can away from God. I think we need to take a page out of the book of Jonah. Remember Jonah? I mean, we're learning about him in Sunday school, I believe. Jonah, who attempted to flee from God. I was talking about this with the teens this morning. It's kind of foolish. I mean, trying to run away from God, you know? Trying to go your own way, do your own thing. But God knows all. God knows what's going on. The best thing, though, is, Christian, that he's trying to pull you back to him. It's so amazing, like the prodigal who returned to the father, and the father just wrapped his arms around him and said, man, my son's returned, that God the Father is loving in the same way. Oh, just return to him tonight. Stand in awe of him. Stand in awe of his character. See his holiness. See his love. See his compassion, my friend. And turn to him. Tonight, I don't know what it is in your life. What the situation is. What the need is. But maybe it's time just to take a step back and look at God. Maybe it's time to forget the situation and remember God. Maybe it's time, Christian, to leave the sin behind and remember God. Time to leave the doubt behind and remember God's power. Time to leave that unbelief where it belongs. Not in your heart. Not anywhere near you. And start trusting God. When's the last time you really stood in awe of who God is? Let's have a word of prayer tonight. God, I pray that this has been an encouragement and a help, that this has been a blessing. Lord, I don't know the different situations here. I don't know the pains, the hurts. I know some, but God, you know all. And God, I pray that you'd help guide those who are going through the tough times. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring those back to you that are feeling like they're going through a detour in life right now. God, I pray that you bless in every situation. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.